Father, we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's impossible to overestimate the importance of this night 2,000 years ago for Jesus, confirming from the Father who he is, but also for the disciples and also for us. It tells us that Jesus is truly God, but it also tells us what kind of Messiah he is. It begins with Jesus walking into the room, the upper room, and finding the disciples ready for the Passover meal. And in the course of that celebration, Jesus gets up and he washes their feet. And as he washes their feet, he says to them, "As I have done for you, so are you called to do to one another." And he celebrates the Passover meal. And in the course of that meal, he eats the lamb that we heard about in the Old Testament passage. And he remembers all of those lamb citations throughout the whole Old Testament. And he presents himself to the Father as the Lamb of God that will be sacrificed for the sins of the world. And after he's finished with a Passover meal, he walks across the Kidron Valley into Gethsemane, the place of the olive press. And he goes into the garden there, and he kneels down, and he prays. And in one of the Gospels, it says that he prays blood drops of anguish. And so as he prays, he finds the disciples asleep. But he invites them to pray with him. And so one of the momentous events of this night 2,000 years ago is that he invites the disciples to keep watch with him. But then in the garden, he's arrested, as we know, and he's taken to Caiaphas' house. And he's kept overnight in Caiaphas' house. All of these major, major events, but it all begins with a foot washing and with Jesus' words that beckon us to examine the love that he has for us. Never before was there ever in Jewish history or in Greco-Roman history a time when a superior would kneel down and wash the feet of someone that was socially inferior to them. Never did it happen before. But the Creator of the universe, as he bends down and washes the disciples' feet, kneels before them, just an absolute perfect picture of the lengths that God will go to reach us where we are. Not only did he step out of his home in heaven to become a human being, not only did he become a servant in his life ministry and heal and teach and preach and do all those things that he did in his earthly ministry, but now at the end of his ministry, before he is crucified, he kneels before the disciples and he washes their feet. It's in effect a commentary on Philippians chapter 2, or maybe Philippians chapter 2 is a commentary on the foot washing, but it says that Jesus didn't regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant and being humbled to become a human being. He humbles himself even unto death. So he came to those with dirty feet. Jesus came to those who had filthy, dirty feet, and he washed their feet. And so he comes to those today with feet who are well soiled, to people who have an awareness of how much they need God's cleansing, who are aware that apart from God coming into their life and into their situation, that they remain dirty and there's no way to become clean. And he can only go to those who are aware that they need washing, that they need the kind of washing that only Jesus can give them. Back in the first century, they wore sandals, as you know, and you know probably that the custom was that if you go to a person's house for dinner or for Passover, that you would normally be handed a basin and you would wash your own feet. Or if there was someone who was subservient to you, a Gentile or someone like that, they would wash all of the other feet of those who arrived. So what Jesus does in the context of this Passover meal is he gets up and he does what no one would ever do and had ever done. He bends down and he washes the filthy feet of the disciples. In effect, it's a reminder to us, it's a picture to us, that we are desperately in need of God's washing. And apart from that, we will never be clean. It's a reminder to us of just how dirty we really are to wash someone's feet. It's a reminder to us that our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's a reminder to us that none of us is righteous, not even one. And that all of us need God's cleansing in order for us to have the hope of standing before him as clean people. So Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He didn't come to clean those who had already clean feet, but he came to wash the feet of those who needed to be washed. He came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life away as a ransom for many. He came that we might have life and have it abundantly. He came to wash us so that we may be made whole and ready to face our Redeemer. And so do you see in this story of the washing of the feet that it's a parable of what will happen tomorrow? It's a parable of the cross, because on the cross, perfectly, Jesus will take upon himself the sin of the world. He will become sin and a curse so that we might become the righteousness of God. And so why did he do the foot washing? The gospel tells us, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And then he washes their feet. He shows them how much he loves them. And he shows us how much he loves us. As we submit to the humiliation of foot washing, some of you will want to come forward, and maybe many of you will want to come forward and participate in foot washing. It's a very humbling experience for everyone who participates. But when we're washed, the Bible tells us that we're able to wash others, and we're inclined to wash others, but only for those who are washed. And I don't mean really in the washing of feet, but I mean in terms of God's call upon our life to serve one another. And if we've received God's washing, and if we become clean of sin and made right for God, then by impulse, by natural impulse, we'll want to share the same with others. And so we'll want to wash other people's feet. It's a call to servanthood, but first it's called to be able to be submitted to the washing of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus then would say to us, as I have washed you, so I call on you to wash one another. So in a few minutes, we'll invite you to come forward for foot washing and to wash others' feet as well. We'll invite you to submit to the humiliation of what it means to have your own feet washed as a symbol and a reminder of how much God wants to wash us and cleanse us. And then we'll share that blessing with others as we wash their feet. And I invite you to participate in that as a symbol of our call to be a Christian community that serves one another. In the name of Jesus, amen.
As Chuck mentioned, we're gathered remembering the Last Supper. And at the Last Supper, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Then he instituted the Eucharist. And so the rest of our service tonight is going to be built around those two things, the washing of feet and sharing in the Eucharist. These stoles that the priests wear are meant to call to mind, at least on one level, the towel that Jesus girded himself with when he went to wash his disciples' feet. And so the way that this will work is that the clergy will begin by washing the feet, I think, of the altar guild, seated in the front pews. And then once that has happened, then just like you're dismissed for communion every Sunday, the ushers will dismiss you to come. And we have two chairs on either side. So when one is open, so once your feet have been washed, then you will become the washer. That's the pattern that Jesus instituted. We receive from him, and then we give what we've received. So you'll come forward, you'll sit, you'll get your feet washed, and then you will wash the next person's feet who are in line. A couple of practical considerations. Feel free to come up with 1 foot bare or with 2 feet bare. Whatever you're comfortable with is fine with me. The other thing is that if, for whatever reason, say that physically you're unable to bend, you need help, then the clergy will be hovering around the 4 stations. And if you would like help, then simply ask one of us and we'll be happy to jump in and help. The final thing, I would hope that while you're engaging in washing somebody's feet, you would be blessing them, praying for them. Feel free to verbalize prayers and blessings if you'd like to. Certainly don't have to. But I'd hope that as you engage in this act, it would be one of blessing and of prayer, of service, and that the person whose feet you're washing would have an awareness of that at some level. So at this point, I'd like to invite us forward to participate in this sacramental sign this evening.